بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all of our praise and our gratitude is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who invites us to his house. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who then opens the doors and opens the pathways and makes Hajj and Umrah easy for us. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us the awareness to see that this is an important part of our life. We then send peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that was sent as a mercy to mankind. And we send peace and blessing upon his companions, his family members, those who helped him, aided him, amma ba'd, thereafter. Today's session that we have, the title is Taqwa, God Consciousness. And taqwa and hajj have a very close relationship. And the reason for that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about hajj in the Quran, he mentions that the best thing that you can take with you while you are on hajj is taqwa, God consciousness, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, "Wa khayru zad taqwa." And this quality of taqwa, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this right here is an act that, or a quality that can change your life. If you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created insan or jinn except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we were to look at in our 24-hour day, how much time we spend worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the answer, maybe each salah takes 10 minutes and five salahs. You can round that up and say an hour out of the 24 hours. We are serving the purpose of our creation. I mean, the rest of the time, we're doing something that we're not created for. And this ratio is off, but how do we fix that ratio? And it's through this quality of taqwa that a person can take any action of theirs and turn it into an act of worship. Meaning, while you are at work, while you're driving, while you are spending time with your kids, while you are studying, while you are at the shopping mall, all of this can become an act of worship if done correctly. I was speaking to some of the students, and one of the students asked me that, "Sheikh, is there a way that I can turn the 8 hours I spend at school into worship?" You know, we were talked about how, you know, the classes that they take at the masjid, that's an act of worship. So he turns around and says, "Can I turn my 8 hours at school into an act of worship? That way I'm worshiping Allah SWT for a majority part of my day." And I sat there and I said to him, that can be achieved through the quality of taqwa. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to our major worship, the reason why we fast in the month of Ramadan is so that you can gain taqwa. لَعَلَّهُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The purpose of salah is to build an awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your mind. And now, you're turning your worship, you're turning your mundane acts of going to school, of going to work, of spending time with your family, to an action of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the quality of taqwa. And this looks like when a person has taqwa in those different scenarios, they are conscious of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to do in those situations. So when you're at work, you ask yourself this question, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do here? When you're with your family, you ask yourself the question, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do here? You're playing with your children, or you're sitting with your children, you're taking your family out, and you ask the question, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do here? And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written perfection upon every single thing. Now, That would then be that when you are with your children, you are with your children in the best manner. You are present in that moment. It's not that you are there. So many times we spend time with our children, but in reality, we didn't spend time with them. We spend 8 hours at work, but in reality, we didn't actually go to work because our mind was somewhere else. We weren't present then. We weren't conscious. We were neglectful. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written ihsan, perfection, that whenever you do something, you do it in the most perfect way possible. And that right there is one of the aspects of taqwa. The second aspect is that while you are doing the act, you refrain from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in your car, as you're driving, you refrain from sinning. And now, sinning is not just listening to haram, but also, you know, conducting yourself in a harmful manner towards others, any type of haram. So your commute to work, which is 20 minutes, it becomes an act of worship. 20 minutes back, that becomes an act of worship. And you now take your time at work and you are working in the most pleasing way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those 8 hours become an act of worship. And you have 8 hours in the morning, the drive time, and when you are at home with your family, you're turning that ratio of 1 hour of fulfilling our purpose and flipping that around, where majority of the day we are fulfilling that purpose of our creation with the quality of taqwa. And usually when we translate the word of taqwa, we hear about this concept of taqwa, we often translate it as fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person might say, ittaqullah, fear Allah. But fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my perspective, is it's an incorrect translation. It doesn't give the complete picture. It's not a wholesome translation. A holistic translation of ittaqullah is to be aware. Fearing something, a child maybe fears a monster. When I was young, I feared dogs. But I don't want my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in the same way. And unfortunately, for majority Muslims, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so much that it then causes them to lose hope. And this is where the balance between khawf and raja comes in. The balance between hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this balance has to be perfect. If a person has too much fear, they lose hope in the mercy of Allah. If a person thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive me, they now lose hope. But if a person has too much hope, then the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes down, where they say, Allah will forgive me no matter what. Now this person no longer has fear. And you look at this within your day-to-day life. If your child fears you so much, then your child will not have hope in you. And if your child has too much hope in you, then they might take advantage of you. So this fear and hope, or fear and hope, this balance is a very delicate balance. And when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa is something even better. And the scholars translate taqwa by saying that your fear of Allah is not actually fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a scary fashion, but you fear Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become upset with you. That you love Allah so much that the last thing that you want is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with you because of our actions. And we understand this. In our prime, when we were young, maybe it was a spouse. Maybe today it's a parent or it's our children. As a father, the last thing I want is my children to be upset with me. As a husband, the last thing I want is my spouse to be upset with me. And the reason for that is I love them too much. So now I fear that my children are upset with me, or I fear that my spouse is upset with me, not because I'm scared of them, but that's how much love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into my heart for them. And now we take this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand that fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not that we are scared of him. Yes, we fear Allah's punishment. Yes, we fear Allah's holding us accountable, but we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But more than that, a person now fears that, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes upset with me? So now their actions are by the book. Umar al-Dhan was asked to define what taqwa looks like, and he said that, imagine you're walking a very narrow path. You're going to throw out the trash at night, and it just rained, and everywhere there's mud everywhere. And behind your house, there's a small little pathway that you have to walk, but there's mud everywhere. So what you'll do is that you will gather your clothes so that the mud doesn't splash onto your clothes. And before you step, you carefully analyze and look at, where should I put my feet? So Imam Umar al-Dhan says that that is what taqwa is. That you gather yourself and protect yourself as much as possible. And every move of yours is calculated. If I do this, am I falling into the trap of shaitan? If I do this, is it harming the people around me? And this is a unique thing, that wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that something is forbidden, it is only forbidden. Why? Because it harms us and it harms the people around us. So having this quality of taqwa, it comes down to something that's beneficial to us and beneficial to the people that are around us. When I have taqwa within my community, then when I see two people, I treat them in the way that's pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that benefits them, and in return, that benefits me. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَتَوَدُّدُ إِلَى النَّاسِ نِصْفُ الْعَقْلِ. And the way that you treat people and the kindness that you treat them with, it's half of your intelligence. Why? Because that's what you will get back from them. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation. So having this taqwa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, so Umar al-Dhan says, protecting yourself, making sure you're making sure that every step of yours is not harmful to the people around you, but it's beneficial. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us the benefits of taqwa. And he says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa, you can adopt this quality. And now this will take, it's not something that you obtain once, but it takes constant work on it. So you can't say, Alhamdulillah, I have taqwa, I'm good, let's move on to the next thing. But it takes constant checkups. It's like our iman. Our iman sometimes is at a high and sometimes at a low. Post Ramadan, your iman will be at a high. Now that you have Hajj in your sight, your iman will be at a high. You are constantly thinking that soon I'll be standing in front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Soon I will be standing in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will be walking the holy lands. So your iman will be at a high, but a time comes in your life or throughout the year that your iman takes a dip. And our iman is affected by the circumstances that we face. When things are good, sometimes we're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When things are bad, sometimes we are ungrateful. Sometimes when things are good, we're neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we don't think about Allah. And when things are bad, sometimes we turn to Allah with hope and mercy, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way that our iman goes up and down, and this comes with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Hanza radiallahu ta'ala, he's at home and he realizes that his iman is different from when he's with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he goes out and he meets Abu Bakr, then they meet Umar radiallahu anhu, and they tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? Our iman is different. Maybe we're hypocrites. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that, no, this is what iman is. Sometimes your iman is at a high, and other times your iman is at a low. And if your iman were always to be at a high, then the angels will come down and shake your hands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever adapts this quality of taqwa and they constantly check up on it and constantly work on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open doors for this person. He will make pathways for this person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ittaqullah haythuma kunt. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you may be. In every aspect of your life, make sure you have taqwa. Taqwa is not just when a person is at the masjid, but everywhere. And then the Prophet ﷺ tells us that sometimes what will happen naturally is, even though you're trying to maintain taqwa, what will happen is shaitan will get the best of you. And you may slip. You may fall. You may commit a sin. And the Prophet ﷺ says, what tabi hasana sayyat, that follow up with a good deed every time you commit a sin. Tamhuha, it will erase it. Whenever you do catch yourself slipping, then do a good deed. It will erase the effect of that sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's sitting with the companions and he says, At-taqwa hahuna. وَيُشِيرُ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. The hadith says that with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pointed towards his heart and he said, taqwa lies here. It doesn't lie on your face, or it doesn't lie on your head or in your clothing. It lies within your heart, a place where nobody can see. So just because a person dresses in a particular way, it doesn't mean that the person is a muttaqi, a person who has taqwa. And it's this taqwa that raises ourselves in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the lack of taqwa that drops us in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that, look, the matters of taqwa are here, your consciousness, it belongs in your heart. And for that, a person has to continuously work on their heart. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that there are two parts of working on your heart. Number one, removing the things that are harmful. And number two, putting in good qualities. The things that are harmful to our hearts, they slowly, slowly cause rust, jealousy, envy, hatred, pride. Each of these will cause rust into our hearts. In the very famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever a person commits a sin, a black dot is put under their hearts. And this black dot is slowly, slowly is added with another dot and then another dot until it becomes a cluster. And that cluster becomes a cancer. And that cancer overtakes this person's heart. And now, their heart is not willing to accept, is not willing to be opened up towards the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it becomes deaf, dumb, and blind. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that every time we sin, a dot, a black dot is put, but when we do a good deed, it's a white dot. And now this is a war between both of them. The amount of black dots and the amount of white dots, which will the darkness overtake our hearts, or will the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overtake our hearts? But all of this right here is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, come to Hajj. Because وَخَيْرُ زَادُ التَّقْوَى. This is what you want. So working on your heart is important. You know, removing the things that are harmful, and then replacing that with good things. Things that will benefit you. And that is, of course, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa is always paired with dhikr. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why dhikr, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has an effect on us spiritually. It's something that you say, but the benefit of this is internal. It's a spiritual benefit. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, once again, where he says, وَمِنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلُهُ مَخْرَجًا. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people that have this quality of taqwa. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that be mindful of Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mindful of you. Be conscious of Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be conscious of you. and be conscious of Allah, and you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ahead of you. And when a person picks up this quality so much, then the Prophet says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will become the eyes that you see with, and the ears that you hear with, and the tongue that you speak with, and the hand that you grasp with. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you to do good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your heart, you know, will give you this distaste in sinning. And it's for the very reason why the Prophet ﷺ would read the dua that we see in Surah Al-Hujurat, that Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa qarrin al-kufra wal-fusuq wal-isyan waj'alna min rashidin. When a person gains this quality of taqwa, that's when habib ilayna al-iman happens. Faith, deen, religion becomes beautiful. The way that currently for us sometimes sinning is beautiful and sinning is joyful, and we find pleasure in it. Here we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman. Make spirituality beautiful as well. Wa zayyinhu fi qulubina, and beautify it in my heart. وَقَرِّ إِنَ الْقُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ, and give me distaste and make me hate. Make it disgusting that I sin, that I disbelieve. وَالْإِسْيَانِ, that I openly sin. So all of this we see, it ties into the condition of our heart, and which links into taqwa. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us that Come to my house. What you should take while you go to Hajj and come back from Hajj is the quality of taqwa. In Surah Al-Imran, the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. Rush, run, hasten yourself towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person that does this, جَنَّاتٍ أَرْضُهَا كَأَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ أُعِدَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. A person that rushes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's forgiveness, this for this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared paradises and gardens, which the width of it is as wide as the heavens and the earth. And these gardens are prepared and put together for simple, for muttaqi, for the people that have this quality of taqwa. So, to look at everything that we spoke about, as the time of Hajj slowly, slowly begins to come close, we're just about a month away, and now the Hajj seminars will be starting. We want to start off today's session with this quality of taqwa, understanding that this is one of the most important things and the purpose of us going for Hajj. And the purpose of our creation, that this will help us fulfill the purpose of our creation, that we are constantly in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our 24-hour day becomes a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding that this is not an easy quality to gain. This will take constant work. But we look at taqwa once again from Hadith of Jibreel, where the Prophet ﷺ is asked about this quality of ihsan, perfection that we said. Hey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that everything that you do in the most perfect manner. And when the Prophet ﷺ is asked about what is ihsan, he says, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ أَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ إِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Ihsan, perfection, is that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way as if you can see him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَافْ إِنَّهُ يُرَاكْ. And if you can't reach that level, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. The beautiful thing about this hadith, number one, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't ask what is ihsan in salah, or what is ihsan in the masjid. But he says, tell me about what is perfection. How can I be the perfect father? How can I be the perfect member of my society and my community? How can I be the perfect person as an employee? How can I be the perfect person as a student? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say that, okay, you worship Allah. That, and he didn't say that you pray salah in this manner, but he says, undoubtedly, Allah, that you worship Allah, understanding that any act of ours can become an act of worship if done correctly, if done in the right manner. And that right manner is to bring in this quality of taqwa, that you are always conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, often we say that when a person is not thinking of something, they slowly forget, out of sight, out of mind. It's not in front of you, you're now beginning to forget. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ says that you worship Allah as if you can see Him, He's in your sight. So you're conscious of the commandments of Allah and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And often we give an example that imagine you're driving and you see a cop in front of you. Your driving changes. And if you don't see that cop, but you see a speeding camera, you know that they might be able to see you. It changes, but maybe not as perfect as the first one. And we take the same example, and we understand that when we were young kids and we wanted to do something that our father said not to, if he was there, our behavior changed. Or if we were told that he's watching us, our behavior changed. And this is the same concept, that we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir. Al-alim is the one who knows of everything that happens. He knows of our actions, he knows of our words, he knows of our emotions, and he knows of the things that وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ, that you hide within your hearts, that even the closest of people don't know about you. You know, the word may be harsh, but it's very true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of our demons, the things that hold us down, the shackles that don't let us move forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir. He sees us and He hears us. So when we are at work, the quality of taqwa is important because we understand Allah is watching me right now. And when I'm with my family, I'm aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me right now. And the hadith comes to mind where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ala kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'uluna an ra'iyati." Each of you is a shepherd and you will be asked about how you treat your flock. And this is the same reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see when a person nikah happens, at the time of nikah, we recite the verses of taqwa to understand that our relationships and our ma'amlat are based off of being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you can bring this quality, then your ma'amlat will be perfected. Your relationship will be perfected. And if you bring this quality in your ibadat, then your ibadat will be perfected. So any aspect of our life that we insert this quality of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're now elevating that action and you're elevating the status of your heart with God consciousness. So once again, this is the quality that inshallah we're all looking to build in Hajj, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَخَيْرُ زَادِ taqwa, the best quality that you can take, or not just zad is not just a quality, but it's the best resource that you can take. You know, before Hajj, Da'u Salam will inshallah be sending out a suggested packing list, things that you should pack with you while you go on Hajj, resources that you should take. We suggest that this is an amount of money you should take, or these kind of shoes, or this kind of clothes, or the food that you should take, or you know, your toiletries. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the best resource that you can take with you when you come to meet me is taqwa. And as you go, make sure you continue and you take this with you. But this taqwa, like we said before, it has to come with remembering Allah verbally. So this right here was a discussion, the point of discussion today, is that we build this quality of taqwa and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will prep our hearts and revive our hearts. Understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بل إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. On that day, a person's wealth, on that day, a person's children will be of no benefit to. And to understand this, the Day of Judgment, where every person will be in this situation of nafsi, I worry about myself. And one of these, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that a person will go to their children and will ask the question, how was I as a father? And they say, you are the best father. You gave us everything that we needed. You paid for our tuitions. You got us clothes. You fed us. You took us on vacations. And the person will say, in return, give me one good deed. And the children will say, you are the worst of fathers. You did nothing for us. Go. We have nothing for you. And the person will go to the spouse, and similarly with the same dialogue. And the spouse will at the end say, I have nothing for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ أُمِّي وَأَبِي. On that day, your spouse will run away from you. Your brother, your parents, your children will run away from you. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ. Each of them will be worried about themselves. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, your children and wealth will be of no benefit. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for the person who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart, whose heart has this quality of taqwa, who made sure that when they left the month of Ramadan, they took taqwa with them, who made sure that when going to Hajj and returning back from Hajj, that they worked on this quality of taqwa. And because of this, they're now transformed. Returning back from Hajj is not the same. There's a transformation that happens. And that transformation is that you constantly have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your mind. You know, if a person is conscious of what they eat, they always look and they always make sure that I'm not eating something that I shouldn't. A person maybe has an allergy and they always keeps an eye out for that. Similarly, for a Muslim, we are conscious of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the traps of shaitan. Every step of ours is put down precisely. I'm not falling in the traps of shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very beautifully in the Quran, talks about a dialogue what will happen on the Day of Judgment. That so many times in our life we fall for these traps of shaitan, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوا عَدُوًا. Shaitan is your enemy. So take him as your enemy. Don't befriend shaitan. Because on that day, shaitan will turn around and say that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ. Allah made you a promise and he kept his promise. Why? Because Allah's promise is always true. And I made you a promise. So what? I broke my promise. What did you expect? فَلَا تَلُومُنِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. The Quran says that shaitan will say, don't blame me, blame yourself. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِي. I can enforce you, and you can enforce me. You did this to yourself, buddy. And this is why we work on this quality of taqwa, so that we are aware of the commandments of Allah, and we're aware of the traps of shaitan. And inshallah, as we get closer to the day of Hajj, we can work on this and make sure that this is the transformation that we bring back from Hajj. Jazakallah khair. Inshallah, what we'll do, we'll open up to some questions and answers. I see, alhamdulillah, right now there are a few questions. So I'll read through the questions, inshallah, and then we'll try to answer them. If there are any other questions, then inshallah, we can take those as well. During Hajj or any time when we are trying or in a difficult situation, and that situation is testing our patience, what steps can we take? Or is there something that we can recite to remind ourselves to have taqwa? Right, good question. While we're facing a difficult moment, what should the course of action be at that time? Number one, when you're facing a difficult situation, understand that that difficult situation sometimes is a blessing in disguise. So we often say a difficult situation is a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through. But in reality, it's a test of how we react. That have we reacted in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This test that I'm going through right now, if I'm going through a test in my health, is that bringing me close to Allah or is it moving me further away from Allah? The reality is, a hardship is a test and a bounty is a test as well. If things are tough, that's a test. And if things are good, that's a test as well. And what defines that test is, was my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affected? Now, what can you recite? The word taqwa, it's often paired with tawakkul, and that is to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you see yourself slipping in taqwa at the time of facing a difficult situation, it's important that you build that tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is that you say, O man yattaqillah fahuwa hasbuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever has tawakkul, Allah will be sufficient for them. And this is why the dua that we have, hasbunallah, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal wakeel, that it's okay. This difficult situation that I'm going through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me. I don't need anybody else. When facing a difficult situation, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that comes to mind where Rasulullah ﷺ tells Ibn Abbas that if the whole world were to get together and they try to benefit you, even a little bit, they won't be able to benefit you except for what Allah wills. And if the whole world were to try to get together and they try to harm you just a little bit, they can't harm you except for whatever Allah wills. So in those difficult moments, understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me in this situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not burden me more than what I can bear. And He will give me the strength. And at that time, it's important that you return to a dua and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength. Is there a connection between taqwa and or happiness? I find myself more confident in my decision when making when there's done out of taqwa, ultimately causing happiness. Now, first of all, the question, is there a link between taqwa and happiness? Wherever a person fulfills the purpose of their creation, this leads to spiritual contentment. The days that you pray, alhamdulillah, all 5 of your salahs, that night when you go to sleep, that sleep hits differently. You sleep very peacefully because you know, alhamdulillah, today, I fulfilled the purpose. I fulfilled my 5 salahs. The burden, astaghfirullah, we take salah as a burden, but the responsibility that I have, that I fulfill that responsibility. So whenever you make a decision and it's based off of taqwa, yes, alhamdulillah, you'll find that you will find happiness because you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. You know that that decision of yours is it's in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, and that will bring you happiness. The next question, I find iman and taqwa wax and wane. What's the best way to maintain consistency? It seems to be most difficult. Absolutely. Taqwa is very difficult. Iman is very difficult. And there's a reason for that. The reason is shaitan doesn't want you to have this quality. Because shaitan knows that if I can keep taqwa and iman at a low in this person's heart, then naturally they won't feel like obeying Allah. Their heart won't be inclined towards spirituality, and I've won the rest of the battle. But if this person gains this quality of taqwa, then I've lost the battle. So you constantly have shaitan trying to pull it away from you, pull away from you, pull away from you. But how do you maintain? What's the best way to maintain? And The hadith comes to mind where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ahabbu al-a'mali ilallah adwamuha wa in qalla." The best and the most beloved actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that you do perpetuously, regularly, constantly, without fail. It becomes a habit. Not just any habit, but a habit that you are present in. Sometimes we do habits that our mind is not even there and we're just doing it. Driving, it's a habit. I don't even know if I check my mirrors anymore. But then when I'm present in that habit, I'm doing it perfectly. So here the Prophet ﷺ tells us, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that you do perpetuously, even if there's something small. It doesn't have to be big. You know, the world that we live in, everything has to be grand. And everything has to be scaled up. Not necessarily. Find yourself some small deeds that you can do. Okay, these are some habits that I will pick up that will show, that will reflect my taqwa, my consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, taqwa while I'm with my family is that I turn my phone off so that I can be present and I can be a part of my family's life. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for me. So picking up small things like that will inshallah help us build taqwa. Any action we can do, say started a faulty niyyah or without the correct intention, how do we change the correct change it with the correct niyyah and complete the action? So first of all, niyyah is something that's within our hearts, and this connects to our discussion. It's not something that we have to say. It's in our hearts. The reason, usually we translate niyyah as intention. And intention is a very heavy word, but a word that kind of resonates a little bit more is motivation. What motivates you to do this action that you're doing? What is your motivation for going to Hajj this year? Alhamdulillah, you signed up, you attended the seminar today, you made your mind, but what is your intention or your motivation, your niyyah behind it? What drives you? And if the thing that drives you is incorrect, then because it's a matter of the heart, you have to change your heart. You have to turn your heart. You have to turn your heart towards that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can be done with the help of Allah. Ya muqallib al-qulub. O turner of the hearts, turn my heart towards that which is pleasing to you. So if you are in the middle of an action and you take a moment to reflect, now, this is the important part, that you take a moment to reflect and you ask yourself the question, is my intention correct? And if it's not correct, then in that moment, you turn around and you ask Allah for forgiveness and you reassess your intention and make sure you're doing it for the right purpose. How can we build the taqwa muscle? We talked about this. The taqwa muscle is built by doing deeds on a perpetuous, you solely build it, right? It's a gradual build perpetuously. You bring in the conscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day. You continuously, you know, that's actually the purpose of salah. As Muslims, why are we told to pray five times a day? Because throughout our day, we need that constant reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I wake up in the morning, I have the reminder. Midday, I have the reminder. Late midday, I have the reminder. Sunset time, I have the reminder. And that reminder is making me conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what builds that muscle, taqwa muscle. Does continue to do this some fast after Ramadan maintain the level of taqwa? Absolutely. Right. And I think we have maybe we have 6 days of Shawwal remaining. Today's the fourth. And so, yeah, maybe 6 days of Shawwal remaining. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the very famous hadith says that, follow the 30 days of Ramadan with 6 nafil fasts in Shawwal. Why? Because the 30 days were mandatory. You had to do that. So now when you're outside the mandatory, the question is, do you continue because you saw benefit in it? Or do you leave it immediately? I'm just going to do the minimum. Right? And that tells you that right there, that mindset is a difference. If you stick to the minimum, that means you're the action, maybe you might not fully believe in the action, but if you even do it after when it's no longer mandatory, that means you believe in this action. So the taqwa that we try to build while fasting, because while we're fasting, we're conscious, is there anything going into my mouth? Am I saying something that's displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That you carry on outside the month of Ramadan as well when it's nafil. If a lot of people or friends ask us to make dua for them, should we say their names individually? In Hajj, definitely. Outside of Hajj, you can kind of wrap them in, and in all-inclusive dua. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anybody that's asking you to make dua for them, shower them with your mercies, make their matters easy upon them, forgive their sins. Outside of Hajj, yes. Inside of Hajj, we're going there to build taqwa. We're going there to make dua. Really, you have time. You have so much time on your hand. You'll have more than 10 days on your hand. Take time out and make dua for people individually, inshallah, that would be great. For my parents, I need Bedels. I'm not sure what Bedels is. Maybe we can, inshallah, send it to send the question to Brother Ahmad Sidi. Do you know what this might be? The question that I need Bedels for my parents. How can we get this get that opportunity?
I'm sorry, Sheikh, what is the question?
For my parents, I need Bedels, BEDELS, Badal.
Maybe Badal?
Oh, Hajj Badal,
Maybe
Hajj
Badal,
Badal.
maybe? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Sorry, Hajj Badal. Hajj Badal is that they can no longer do Hajj, and you ask somebody to go on behalf of them. If you know somebody that's going that's already been before, inshallah, you can ask that person to go on behalf of, or Brother Ahmad, if there's another way that you would suggest. If you would like to pick up the cost of somebody else going, then there are opportunities for that as well. There are many people that would love to go to Hajj but then haven't been able to, for financial reasons or for any other reasons. If you'd like to sponsor somebody to go to Hajj, then I'm sure that Islam has a program for that, and they can, inshallah, help you out with that as well. Next question we have, how do we find a balance between hope and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disappointment? That can be often difficult balance. Absolutely. Right. And like we said, too much of either one, it's gonna set you it's gonna set you back. A lot of times we have this mentality that do whatever you want and Allah subhanahu will forgive you. And that's a foolish mentality that you have. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواه وتمنى على الله أماني. He says that a smart person is a person that controls their nafs, their desires, and they do actions for the hereafter. But a foolish person, والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواه, he does whatever his desires tell him to do. And he has high hopes in Allah. Oh, Allah barabacha. Allah will forgive me. Prophet ﷺ says, this person is foolish. So having this balance is always knowing, that Allah is merciful, but you don't want to push that mercy, or you don't want to take advantage or have the wrong hopes in that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which type of the three Hajj are afzal, which is the best, or all three are the same? Different scholars have different opinions. Umar Adan would say that if you're coming for Hajj, then you only do Ifrad. So there are three types of Hajj. You have Hajj Tamattu, Hajj Ifrad, and Hajj Qiran. Hajj Tamattu is when you do Umrah, you exit the state of Ihram, and then you do Hajj. Hajj Ifrad is when you go and you only do Hajj. Hajj Qiran is you can do Hajj, you do Umrah, you stay in Ihram, and then you do Hajj. Which of these three are better? My personal opinion is Hajj Tamattu is better. And there's a reason why I say this. So Hajj Qiran is more difficult. Hajj Ifrad, again, sometimes because of your itinerary. Sometimes because of your itinerary, it may be that Hajj Qiran is the only Hajj that you can do. Why? Because you don't have time to get out of the state of Ihram. Or it doesn't make sense. Or maybe you might not have time to do Umrah. But if you do have the time, my opinion would be Hajj Tamattu. And this goes with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs us to open our fast in the month of Ramadan immediately. That Allah subhanahu have mercy upon a person who opens their fast immediately, because you're telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that I need, and I only stopped it because of your sake. And now that I get the green light, I'm going to go to it quickly. Similarly, the state of ihram, using soap, using shampoo, fragrance, cutting our nails, all of these things, this is things that we need. And the only reason why we're stopping it is for you, Allah. On the other hand, you're saying, oh, I can do this. This is easy. I'm gonna go 10 days. So that's why I would say Hajj Tamattu, but they're not taking away anything from Hajj Qiran. You're putting yourself into an extended state of Hajj. The three types, once again, is Hajj Tamattu, where you perform Umrah, you exit the state of Ihram, you shave your head, you exit the state of Ihram, and then when the days of Hajj come, you put on Ihram a second time. Hajj Ifrad is when you do not do Umrah before your Hajj, and you do the Ihram of Hajj. With that, you can do Hajj Umrah afterwards if you like. That's fine. And Hajj Qiran is where you do Umrah, you maintain your Ihram, you do your Hajj, and after Hajj, you then take off your Ihram. So this is a little bit more difficult. There are scholars that give each of them preference. It will be based off of your itinerary, what your itinerary will look like. Honestly, that's what the main deciding factor will be. But personally, I think Hajj Tamattu is a good thing. It protects a person from doing something that's unlawful in the state of Ihram as well. If you're in the state of Ihram, there's more chances you make mistakes. That way you could you are comfortable in between, and then you put on your Ihram a second time. At what age should we be talking to our children about taqwa? I think the concept of taqwa should be introduced at a later age when they're maybe 10, 11 years old. But the word taqwa you introduce then, but the concept you introduce it earlier. And that is finding things that are relevant where your kids can have taqwa outside of spirituality and deen. I gave some examples earlier, having taqwa, with your father, or having taqwa with your teacher. The other day, my son, he got into the car. I went to pick him up. He got into the car and he said, "Abba, today I took a toy car to school." And he's telling me, he goes, that when the teacher wasn't there, I would take it out and play with it. And when the teacher would come, I would put it back in my pocket. So he goes, that I got away with it. Because the teacher didn't see it, so I took it out and played with it. And when she was there, I hid it. And I had this discussion with him. That the reason why your teacher would be upset, because this is not something good. It would distract you from your studies. And my son is 5 years old, but he understood that concept. That, I should behave as if she can see me. This was taught to me by Sheikh Hassan Sheikh, he's an imam in Detroit. When I was a young boy studying, we were studying in Buffalo, New York, and it was very cold, snowing. And I didn't have a coat on, I didn't have a jacket on. And he said to me, "Mubin, where's your jacket?" And I said, "I don't need a jacket. Why would I need a jacket? I'm fine." And his words, it's been maybe 30 years, and I still remember his words. He said to me, "If your mother would be behind you, would you say the same words?" And I replied back, "I'm going to get my jacket right now." So the way that you build this taqwa, and you build it from a young age, understanding that If your mother was there, if your father was there, the reason why they want you to behave in that matter in their presence is that action is good or it's harmful for you. So I think explaining this to our children from a younger age, like for the, my child Muhammad, he's 5 years old, and I explained this, but the word taqwa, we haven't introduced this yet. When there's 10, 11 years old, you then sit them down and introduce the name of taqwa. Inshallah, that would be beneficial. I don't see any more questions. Brother Ahmed, Atif, do we have anything else?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikhna.
Wa
Jazakallah khairan.
alaikum
I love bless you. Thank you so much for
salam.
your time. If you'd like, you can close the session anytime as well.
Inshallah. So if there's no questions, we'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepts our intention of Hajj, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the pathway to Hajj easy upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us over and over, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes matters easy for us there. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our intention, and He accepts our going to Hajj, and He accepts all of our ibadah. That He gives us the ability to build this quality of taqwa from now, that we are conscious and we're connected to Him from now. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes every aspect of Hajj beneficial to us. Our standing in front of the Kaaba, our sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our walking through the streets in Medina, our durood, every aspect of Hajj is beneficial for us. That this is a means of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a means of us being good members of society. This is a means of Allah forgiving our sins, that He overlooks our shortcomings, that He pardons our mistakes. We ask that through the intention of Hajj and through our worship that we do, we ask Allah that He makes matters easy for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens His doors of rahmah upon them as well. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers them with His blessings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts an end to the oppression. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the sacred lands in the Haramain Sharifain and Masjid Al-Aqsa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings unity amongst the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever there is a Muslim that's going through any type of hardship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes those hardships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not test us more than what we can bear. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us good in this dunya and gives us even better in the hereafter. That Allah turns our hearts towards that which is pleasing to Him. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us love for iman, and He beautifies it in our hearts, and He gives us distaste for kufr and disobedience. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless everybody that's worked hard and works behind the scenes to make this Hajj possible for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the reward in their family. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites us together with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that He protects us from Jahannam. The Allah be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.